Only months out of office, Michigan's former governor, Jennifer Granholm, has a book out. In A Governor's Story, The Fight for Jobs and America's Economic Future, she recounts the many challenges the state faced during her administration from 2003 to 2011. The book details job losses, globalization, a shrinking auto industry, and what Granholm tried to do to combat how those issues affected the state and its residents. Her husband, Dan Mulhern, is a co-author of the book. Both former Governor Jennifer Granholm and Dan Mulhern joined me in the studio. Governor, why did you write this book?
We wrote it because everything that is happening to the country happened to Michigan first. Everybody on the national level, these candidates for president, the president himself, are all trying to figure out why isn't the country bouncing back? And we went through this very dialogue in Michigan after the first recession. You know, I was cringing when my opponent in 2006 kept calling this a one-state recession. But in fact, Michigan was just the canary in the coal mine for what was happening because of the structural changes to our economy. The fact that we had such a concentration in the kind of jobs that were moving globally offshore were leaving this country. And the nation is now experiencing that very thing, and they're trying to figure out how to crack the code to create jobs in America in a global economy.
So what can the nation learn from Michigan?
People have got to read the book. But but in the last chapter, we offer some policy prescriptions for what we think needs to happen. I mean, in particular, we really need to work with business to make a competitive business case for businesses to locate in this country, but not just based on cost alone, because we will never win a cost alone war in a global economy. We all know that. But certainly on quality jobs. Quality advanced manufacturing jobs, how important it is for the country that we really strive to keep and grow an advanced manufacturing sector. And, you know, so we've got a lot in the last chapter, which really are the prescriptions for the country. But honestly, every chapter was selected, and the reasons why we chose these were because every chapter has really a similarity to what's going on in the nation right now.
And one of the major points in the book, so relevant for this campaign, is that we have to have a government that's involved and that's active, not, as Jennifer would say, a big government, but an active government. We're looking at countries like China, India, Korea, Singapore, Sweden, Germany, all of them. The government has a very focused, strategic, active role in developing jobs, in focus, being focused on jobs. We don't have that here in this country. We do talk about lowering taxes. That certainly helps businesses. But in a global economy, it does nothing to make those jobs come here. Those jobs are moving. So while other governments are extremely active in building sectors of the future, in growing their economy and focusing on jobs, we're on the sidelines.
One of the things that you mentioned was that you weren't able to fix everything. And it seemed like throughout the book, you described your challenges and how you were going to advance and try to meet those challenges. But it seemed when you weren't able to fix that, it was always out of your control. There was nothing you could do. And I'm wondering if that's what you wanted people to take away from the book.
Well, I do want people to recognize that, you know, you're not going to be able to stem the loss of tradable goods kinds of jobs in a global economy. So the question is, and this is true for us as a nation, what are we going to do about that? Is it okay to have a hands-off posture, which many on, in the political spectrum, many would say, you know, we've got to have free markets, laissez-faire, government's got to get out of the way. But to continue to have a hands-off posture will mean that we are basically ceding the territory to our economic competitors. And if we don't get in the game as governments to be able to partner with business to keep them in this country, if we're not strategic about our economic development strategies to go after the sectors we know we can compete in a global economy and partner with those businesses to make them successful here, then we are going to miss the boat as a nation. So, you know, clearly there are things that no state can do alone. The governor of the state, notwithstanding, no matter how fabulous they are, no state in the country has the power, the tools to compete against China. It's only a partnership with the federal government, the state government, and the private sector and universities that we will be able to thrive as a nation.
Governor Rick Snyder is in China right now on an Asian trade mission. You never went to China. And I'm wondering if that was because China had such a negative image.
Total BS. I'm not kidding you. Whoever is saying that is completely lacking in understanding of what was going on inside of our administration. We sent a delegation of the MEDC to China to, you know, till the soil. Jim Eppolito and a whole crew went there. But you don't, for me, because of the what was going on in Michigan, I was only going to go on a trade mission or an investment mission when there were deals to close. And because there hadn't been a delegation in China beforehand, the deals were not ripe yet. I think it's fabulous that he is going to Asia, to Korea, to Japan, to China. And if I had had another year or two, in fact, in our final year, we were planning going to India and China, hoping that we would be able to get there. It just didn't work out. Bottom line is, every governor should be doing that. And anybody who says that I chose not to go to China is completely ignorant.
Finally, this book is called A Governor's Story. But, Governor, you wrote it with your husband. And some people might wonder why you wrote this together. Men usually don't include their wives if they write a book of this kind. And I'm wondering if you are doing a disservice to women because you were elected governor.
That's very interesting. Well, this was, Dan is my best friend, and this was a journey that we traveled together. And Dan's contributions to making this happen, I think, make the book much better. The reason why is because I'm, we're very different in character and in type people. And I want to get to the policy prescriptions. I want to get to the answers for the nation. And Dan is much deeper and more thoughtful about the internal stuff, which he thought would be very interesting for people to read about. I would never normally have been writing about the stuff that's hard for me to even talk about because I don't go there usually. So I think the combination of our contributions makes the book a much richer book.
I think, though, that there's a place for women to lead and for men to lead. And I kept my mouth shut for the most part for 8 years. I was very good
at being...
I said plenty of things to you. We had lots of discussions.
Wow, you also had a radio show. You said a few things. But anyway.
But it was very clear who was the governor. You were the governor as it should be. And I was not elected to anything. But I think, Christina, that we need to move to a new way of seeing things, which is that we have strong partnerships. And there are strong partnerships. I don't care what class we're talking about, working class people. There are all kinds of unusual partnerships where women are earning more, where both people have jobs, where people are tending for the kids. And I think it's time to get beyond an either or that men are taking away from women. Jennifer was very gracious in letting me play a role and encouraging me. I said, it can be with Dan Mulhern, it can be acknowledgments, but honestly, we wrote the book together and I'm grateful that, that my name is on it because that's the accurate truth of who wrote the book.
Governor Granholm, Mr. Mulhern, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you, Christina.